everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 219. And it's 219 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. We're back here this week with Joey.
Hi, Mark.
I heard Rick is just recently landed.
Apparently.
Back in the States.
Yes, apparently they did find a moose that could transport him all the way back.
Got through customs.
Nothing
hidden in his hat. Nothing at all under there.
I don't know. I don't know. I still haven't heard from him. He landed a few hours ago.
Yeah. I saw a random email. He said something about, oh gosh, I hope you have someone for ping. And I was like, I've been prepared a little while for that. I asked Joey this morning.
Yeah. You were well prepared. Well prepared, sir.
Well, let's look back at last week at 218. We asked you, what piece of technology are you missing from 20 years ago? I apparently look young for my age, because whenever I say this 20 years ago, they're like, oh, you don't know. I was like, no, I really was. I was doing all this stuff 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Even though I still look 20.
Don't stop believing,
no?
Mark.
All right. Develop KC says he misses CompuServe, Prodigy. This is actually a fantastic list. AOL Discs in the Mail, Baud Rates, Parity, Stop Bits, IRQs. I actually don't understand why you miss IRQs. We were having this discussion earlier. Like,
yeah.
You'd be shoving cards in your ISA slots.
Yes.
ISA right before PCI.
Absolutely.
And then it wouldn't work because you had IRQ like conflicts.
Yes.
And you couldn't get things to work. Or you said you didn't set the jumper right.
You didn't set the jumpers right.
On the board or on your hard drive, or there was going to be, master slave.
And then there's the whole, you don't set it right. You open up the case, you forget to unplug it, you set the jumper and...
Right, or not setting the baud right correctly when connecting via like hyperterm to another thing. Now, what I do absolutely miss is, did you ever play multiplayer by just dialing into another person?
Yeah.
So like 1v1, I remember playing 1v1 like Duke Nukem.
Oh yeah.
And Warcraft, we used to play a lot of too, Warcraft 2, I guess. But there's no latency when you're just dialed into the other computer.
Right.
It was awesome back then. Forget high speed internet. You were directly connected to the other player.
I have my 300 baud modem. I'm good to go.
I think we had a 2600 baud modem. Is that right? 2400 maybe?
Yeah.
2600 would be the magazine. And then it was a 9600 baud modem. 24, then 96, and then I had my 56K. I went to high school about 56K.
Develop KC talking about the AOL discs in the mail. We used to have some fun with those. You know, go to the grocery store, the convenience store, where they just had boxes of them.
Right, on the way out.
Yeah. So we just grabbed boxes of those, and we may or may not have stuffed cars full of them because they left their windows open.
And you're talking like...
I'm talking
like
the...
Three and a half inch
floppy disks. Yeah, this is... This is before the CD.
Before, yeah. So I had the AOL CDs that I flipped around, and again, my high school, my locker in high school was a mirror finish, because I just had a bunch of AOL discs there, and all the girls were so jelly.
they were so jelly.
I had a full-length mirror. Yeah, totes jelly. Let's see, 40 meg hard drives, 4 mega memory, 386 SX, and 486DX. We just actually had to look this up, because I thought I had, and I did, a 386DX66.
Yes.
I ran a flight simulator on there. It might have been Microsoft Flight Sim, where it was like an F-14 Falcon kind of game or whatever. And for long missions, we had to fly real far, you hit the turbo button, and you get there twice as fast.
Is that how the turbo button works?
Well, they had written the game tied to CPU cycles.
Ah.
Most computers didn't have variable clock cycles at that time, right?
Like, yeah.
So, I could actually go twice as fast in the air. You run out of fuel. Like, certain things were clocked differently in the game. It wasn't...
I'm out of fuel! Ah, crap, I have the turbo button plugged in. Yeah.
Oh,
double speed CD-ROM drives. Sound blaster cards.
Oh, we were talking about this, building machines, and you just slap in a motherboard, processor, RAM, and you're good to go. A graphics card is almost... superfluous. I mean, I'm a video gamer, so
yeah. If you're a gamer, you want to buy a graphics card.
But you can just slap in a hard drive nowadays. No putting in your Sound Blaster, Sound Blaster 16.
Sound Blaster 32
Setting it up
Pro.
In the game options. Maybe it'll work. Game may work. You may need the beta drivers in case for. They didn't have the 16-bit sound driver support here.
Video game control. He says video game controllers had four directions, two buttons. You know, versus the.
I was a Genesis, Sega Genesis kid. I mean, the Sega Master System, but Sega Genesis had three buttons.
Yeah. I love this. If things didn't work, you could call a person and not have to tweet for support. So you actually would pick up the phone and call support.
You pick up the phone on the party line and ask people on your party line for support.
Yes, exactly right. And most of all, he thinks all the cool kids wore orange shirts back then, some with their collars up.
I actually didn't wear color. until my mid-20s, I actually only wear black and gray shirts that were about three sizes too large. Lots of band t-shirts from my emo angsty concert days, stuff like that. No, black and gray, no orange.
And now you're a cool kid.
I had a Broncos jacket. That was the only thing that had orange on it.
Okay. So it was just like one stripe?
No, you didn't want too much color? It was a big puffy jacket, because that's what you were, the big puffy.
Yeah, the puffy jacket.
And it has the old Denver Broncos logo on it.
Yeah. So. Awesome, awesome.
Pierre Cove talks about the virtual body hack, kind of a version of the movie Gamer. I didn't see the movie, but I'm pretty sure that was, Running Man. It's different than Running Man.
Yeah. I didn't see the movie either.
It was a kid controlling a guy, but it was like, I thought it was a game show-ish kind of thing where it was a bunch of like serial killers or whatever, and then you had people. I could be completely wrong. But if not,
and I wouldn't correct you because, I don't know the movie.
And from 20 years ago, Gopher, Netscape, Usenet, IRC. IRC is actually a fairly cool place to be right now. Because it is still active and is useful, right? Chat rooms still make sense in this day and age.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's like text messaging, but with multiple people. And it's more of the old school people who are there. So you still get some of that vibe. A lot of, I don't want to say startups, but services that are relatively small that you can ask for support. Like the user groups, they sit on Twitter, sit on IRC. It's kind of neat.
That's cool. That's cool.
So we should maybe we should have.
I have to fire up the old IRC.
MIRC was what I always used.
Oh yeah, Mark was the best. Mark was the best.
Until actually, I just read an article recently about ICQ is apparently making a comeback.
It's making a comeback.
Relatively.
Yeah. Relatively. All right. All right.
Donald A says the Creative sound card phone combination. Creative.
I never had one of those.
I didn't have the phone, but it had the sound card.
Yeah.
Deal. Window pop up with caller ID, which now that happens on like I don't want my parents have the 3-in-1 like their cable companies or phone companies. So you're watching TV, you get a pop up saying someone's calling you, and you can then avoid their call easier. Caller ID be sent via UDP to remote computer and pop up there. That's pretty sophisticated for a 92-93 world.
Yeah. No, that's actually really cool. That's really cool. Nice app there.
So apparently, the good days are behind us.
Well, I don't know about that.
Who likes this plug-and-play stuff nowadays? Nowadays? I guess that was like 20 years ago, too. Yeah. Plug-and-play.
Plug-and-play was, what do you say we start the show?
All right.
Well, you know, we were talking that the good old days are past us. No, that is not the case.
They're back.
They're back. Unreal Tournament 2014, the pre-alpha. Pre-alpha is available for download. If you really can't wait to get your hands on the Unreal Tournament 2014, which they announced
back in May.
Yeah, I think. You need an Unreal Engine 4 subscription, which costs $19 a month, but you are now able to get the pre-alpha version to try out.
It's Unreal Tournament 2014, and in August, the pre-alpha is available. Makes me wonder if it'll come out.
Yeah, well, as long as it makes it by the December 31st.
Well, if we get some testers on there,
exactly.
Work out all the bugs early.
Exactly. So this is obviously for those who are just really into Unreal Tournament. And I asked before the show started, did you play Unreal Tournament? And you got to tell
the
story.
I have the best answer
for this. You have to tell the story.
I have a master's degree in Unreal Tournament. And I'm not even kidding. I not like the MC Hawking song where he says he's a master's in disaster. My master's degree is in artificial intelligence, and the project I worked on was AI bots in Unreal Tournament, and a whole system that you can, in real time, plug in goals and different actions, and you can create different kind of characters. Like, a security guard may do a, like, pace back and forth, or a patrol between certain points and do things. A group of four team in a domination match may work differently together, and may call out objectives to each other and split up and stuff. So I literally have a master's degree in Unreal Tournament.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I haven't got to use that much, but 2014.
So are you jumping right onto the pre-alpha?
I have so many things going on right now, probably not. if they have the opportunity to do botting again the way it was done before, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, and of course, speaking of going back in the day, for more information about the builds of Unreal Tournament 2014 pre-alpha, check out the Beyond Unreal IRC channel.
Yes.
OneNote has come out with a few updates, and we here at The Pink Show are big fans. We do all of our show prep in OneNote.
Absolutely. At least 5 to 10 minutes before we start shooting, we put in things that we want to talk about.
That way we have a single place to like... No, but...
It actually happens through the week.
Throughout the week,
fairness,
as I'm coming across something, as I'm avoiding work by reading news, I'll think, hey, this is a great idea for Ping.
Yeah.
Just drop it in the OneNote. We get to see each other. Well, one of the new features is the people presence feature. So you'll be able to see when you go in there if someone else is in that notebook already. And this feature will work regardless of which OneNote client they're using. And the clients are many and varied. You can be on the web if you share OneNote on a OneDrive account, just seamless editing on there, on PC, on, excuse me, on iOS, on Android, on RT devices, and all, of course, you can do this. Phones. I actually will look at my my grocery list is in OneNote.
Yeah, absolutely. Big fan of OneNote. Also, with a lot of the collaboration, one of the things that we've heard quite a bit is that the syncing, you know, particularly when multiple users are in it, that it can be a little bit off when you're doing, you know, a bunch of work
large
in there.
It can get
you can get conflicts. You can get things there. The syncing is now nearly real time.
Which is
what they call it.
Kind of nutty. It's awesome. I find like some right now it's a little chunky. Like you may find like a section gets dropped in here and there. I haven't run into too many problems because we are a generally smaller crew that works on this. But it'd be interesting to see the real time syncing across there.
Dumping a big bucket of ice water on your head has been all the rage on the Twitters lately. It's all done in the name of ALS research. It's raised $2.3 million to date. And this week, our own CEO, Satya Nadella, took the challenge, dumped a nice bucket on his head, a bucket of ice on his head.
Technology and how that can give new hope to people with ALS and new cures to ALS, and I'm sort of excited about it. So here you go.
One, two, three.
No ice!
Now, let me take this opportunity to challenge Jeff Bezos and Larry Page to take their own ice bucket challenge. And let me tell you again, from personal experience, it's better to have your head in the clouds than under a bucket of ice.
Also continuing on this week in technology-wise, there's been a lot of Silicon Valley folks challenged ALS bucket challenge.
Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg was out there, and he challenged, let me pull it up real quick. So Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey actually challenged Zuck.
Yes.
And then he challenged Bill Gates, Sheryl Sandberg, and Reed Hastings. It's kind of nutty, the level of people who are doing this.
Yeah.
Being called out is one thing.
Sure.
But they're going on and perpetuating it, all for a great cause.
Absolutely.
And Satya actually spoke about how we had...
Steve Gleason,
thank you.
Formerly of the Seattle Seahawks.
In part because he was actually one of the people in the video we had during our Super Bowl commercial, who talked about how technology can bring, you know, life to those who have had something taken from them. That's what ALS does, unfortunately.
And there was actually a team of folks during the internal hackathon that we just had that were actually working on their solution is actually ALS related to kind of make... kind of touch and kind of more interactivity with the OS. We using Kinect, using Surface, using some of these things. They actually won, which is how this whole thing kind of got started with Satya. So it's super cool. And actually, Steve was actually here during the hackathon to kind of kick that off.
Right.
So super cool, super cool stuff that we've got going there.
News from Germany, Gamescom, the annual, I think it used to be called the Cologne Games Conference, whatever, or one of those, now called Gamescom, big conference out there. Announcement that is near and dear to us, Geometry Wars 3.
There goes my evenings.
For those of you who haven't played, it started off as a little time waster in between loading Project Gotham levels.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was a mini game.
Yeah, it was a mini game.
And they came out with Geometry Wars HD, one of the early arcade games on Xbox 360, and it is a strangely addictive, simple game. You are just a little shape. You float around with the left stick. You shoot with the right stick. The twin stick shooter.
Well done.
And, but it's set in a world where everything's a geometric shape and everything kind of gets warped and it gets faster and faster as you go. There are different types. There's a pacifism level where you can't shoot and it's all about trying to avoid things. In Geometry Wars 2, they made the just painful addiction.
So here's the problem with Geometry Wars, and this is why it's so addicting. Because you basically can see where your friends are at on the scoreboard.
The menu.
Through every menu and what they've done.
The main menu is like six game modes, and instead of like play this, play that, it's the top five friends who have all beaten you. And
yes.
You're like, no, I need to get back on that list.
I will not take this. And so Geometry Wars 2, I mean, we were talking about this before we started shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It took me months.
Yeah.
Months to get through the go around.
You had to touch all the walls. They had some weird achievements. And you had to touch all the walls twice.
Yes.
In Pathfinder, or in one of them without shooting. Yeah, it was a
mess. Yeah, one of them without shooting. The other one you could shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So
there's a third.
There's a third.
A new one coming.
A campaign with 50 levels, 10 modes, which is new. There was six, I think, the last one. So there's a couple of new ones in there. Still happening on a 2D plane, but they said maps are now wrapped around giant shapes. So you may be on a 2D plane, but you may be wrapping over to like the edge of a cube or something. So more stuff to wrap your mind around. Geometry Wars, check out some videos. I think the visuals really do the game in, and you have to see a little clip of it to see what it's like.
Absolutely. So, do you have your camera, your GoPro, you wear on your helmet every time you go mountain biking?
I have
rock
a GoPro.
Climbing, adventuring.
I bought a GoPro right before the GoPro 3 came out, so mine was immediately outdated. But use it for snowboarding a little bit. Rock climbing is a little difficult because your head keeps moving.
Yes.
And oddly enough, we saw that. That's something that happens a lot, and we fixed it.
Well, yeah, it's that and the fact that you could have hours of you, in your case, snowboarding, before anything really good happens, right? The big wipeout or whatever.
There's a lot of hours before anything good happens if I'm snowboarding.
And so they now have this, Microsoft Research has this product that they call Hyperlapse.
Yes. So the idea is you take one of these first-person kind of views, and if you do a time-lapse of it, so you want to walk around a campus or a park or snowboarding or climbing, what you notice is anytime you change direction real quick with your head movement, it's very jarring. You get like a frame of somewhere else, and it just does not make a very good video to watch. What Hyperlapse does is it actually generates a 3D model and understands the path you're taking and does some smoothing on it, and then does some like shaky cam reduction stuff that way.
Yes, and then you can also basically go 100x speed.
Right. So you do these time lapses, but they're smooth.
Yeah, so it doesn't feel like you're jarring and the kind of madness. It takes away the Benny Hill factor, I guess,
yes,
to some degree.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
You couldn't play that music on these. of course, it is a research project, which means when they describe it, it's presented as, we present a method for converting first-person videos, for example, captured with helmet cameras.
Yes.
It's very dry, but the tech
time-lapse videos.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah. So you'll want to check this out. They're going to be releasing, I believe they're going to be releasing an app is kind of where they're heading in this direction. Yeah. So take a look at that. Take a look at the video. It's kind of super cool technology coming out of Microsoft Research.
The IE engineering team just did a AMA on Reddit. Once again, AMA is the Ask Me Anything, or Ask Us Anything in this case. It is an interesting way of getting feedback from a specific community, but the Reddit is pretty broad in who it attracts. So this two-hour AMA got all sorts of questions, talking about what's coming up, giving some feedback on how to do better testing, talking about the recent announcements we talked about last week about previous versions of IE not being supported, and actually they brought up again enterprise mode in IE 11, the testing we have on Browser Stack. So Browser Stack is a service that basically runs all the VMs of all different browser versions for you, so you can do testing without having to set up an environment. There are some great questions in here, a lot of open-ended questions, asking the team if there was one thing they could change, you know, what would it be, or what's one thing they're really proud of. I think a lot of things that were highlighted are around touch, touch experience in modern IE or even the normal IE. I mean, I'm doing it right now. We do it all the time. If you have a touch monitor, it is a stick to your finger. Yeah. Like, it goes. And that's really cool. Someone did mention, as Reddit can go anywhere, we're going to quote Broaway. There's two dashes in there. I have so many Bing reward points. When I cash them in, I'm going to splash Bill with the wake for my yacht. You should all get your Bing reward points. The yachts have not shown up in there. I've been keep checking.
You keep checking? I keep checking. You haven't seen them yet?
I haven't seen them. It's going to be all just Xbox points for me. I guess until the yachts show up.
Yeah, until the yachts are condo in Miami.
I don't know. I really like AMAs when done right. And I think this one was done well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it starts even with the title.
Yeah.
You know, I love this. We build Internet Explorer. I know, right? Just ask us about anything.
Right.
And they were very, very good about answering the questions and how they answered the questions.
Directly answering questions. And it was multiple people from the engineering team, people from the rendering team, people from networking, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts sometimes when you see a marketing person on there.
Yeah.
You can tell.
What? No.
It blew me away because it was on the top of the front page.
Yeah.
So I was, hey, I'm on Reddit and I work here and I didn't know it was happening. So I was a little surprised, but it was kind of cool to see. There's actually even a really cool dev question asking why if you do a type of item, why is that equal to a function in there? And he goes into depth of why that goes on. And then someone who's like, I don't have any programming knowledge. ZBull47 actually gave a really cool layperson description of what's going on under the covers there.
Yeah.
Good long description of how JavaScript equals works and all fun stuff like that.
Yeah, so, they were super open. They had some fun when it was time to have fun as well. So you want to check out this. I'm going to finish reading this. Well, you finished.
Finish the show?
The show, yeah.
That works. Go ahead. You can sort by. Everything's upvoted and downvoted, so you get the most relevant, most popular questions and answers up top, but go through and read for yourself. That's all for episode 219 of Ping. That's 219 in the can. Thank you for joining us once again, everyone. Thank you, Joey.
Oh, always happy to be here.
Why don't you follow our chat all week on Twitter at #PingShow. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePingShow. Send us a postcard at Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Yes! Nailed it. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Joey Snow.
At Mark DeFalco. And we will give you a question for this week. Please comment below. Who would you challenge in the ALS Bucket Challenge? And I guess it's kind of breaking the rules a little bit.
Yeah, well, or maybe it's maybe you do. You know what we should do? Instead of a question of the week, they should take the challenge and then post below in the comments as to who they're challenging.
It's true. You have to forward the challenge.
Yep.
So post the link. Yeah, we'll see who else we can do in here. We can get a little Pig Nation.
Yeah.
Some charity work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very cool. We look forward to seeing you next week. Whale.
Oh!